I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series podcast. I'm Sally Lou Loveman, your host. My name is a lot. It's two words for one name. People call me Sally all the time. And when I meet new people and they say, "Nice to meet you, Sally Lou," I always say, "Thanks for the Lou." Because when you call me Sally Lou, it means you know me and it means you care to know me. So, I love hate my name, mostly love it. Love the name Sally. But for me, Sally Lou is my name. So if someone calls me Sally, I don't know who they're talking to. There is one person that's allowed to call me Sally. It's my fun fact. His name is Denzel Washington. We were backstage at the Oprah Winfrey Show, and I was getting a picture with him because he is my number one. And he looked at me, and I was trying so hard not to oversmile that my vein in my forehead was popping. I call it my Denzel vein. And he said, "Why are you blushing, Sally?" And I said, I'm not. So basically, my fun fact is that Denzel Washington can call me Sally, but nobody else can. It is such a privilege to do what you love and to get paid for it. I've been wanting to host a podcast since I launched my business 5 years ago. I've had it produced for years. It's been sitting in one of my many idea folders. Sometimes we just have to make our own content, which is what this podcast, my book, and hopefully more books is all about. We can't wait for someone to offer up our dreams. We got to create them ourselves. As I sit in the studio today, I'm in awe of manifesting ideas. I felt the same way when I first held my completed manuscript for my book. And I will feel the same way when I stand on the comedy stage and do my stand-up. I'm so excited for the first time. What I'm trying to say is, if you can't get paid to do what you love, figure it out and do it yourself. Do it on the side until it starts paying your bills. This is what the Love Speaks series is all about, loving what we do, loving our stories, and sharing them with others, loving each other and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So each week, we're going to meet one of my Love Speaks friends who will share their story with you and me and tackle a topic, one of many. It could be about money, mindfulness, purpose, parenting, loss, love, kindness, composting, careers, purpose, pain, momentum, magic, fear, forgiveness, and so much more. We're going to laugh a lot. I will make hundreds of mistakes, and I'm going to ask my editor not to edit them out. You'll get the unfiltered me, and I think we'll all be better for it. So my first guest is me. For those of you who don't know me, I figured what better way to launch this thing than to give you a sneak peek into my story. I happen to love my story. Like, I love it so much, even the shitty parts. So much that obviously I wrote a book about it. I'm doing a podcast. I'm a first-time author, first-time podcaster, long-time lover of doing what I love, which is television. So my last name, Loveman, is pretty fun, and I guess it didn't happen by accident. I've been married, it'll be 30 years next year. We're in year 29, but we actually just celebrated 30 years of being committed to each other. That's a whole other story, because we got engaged in, 1989. But I married my brand. Did I know it at the time? Hell no. But it's worked for me. So my business is called Love Speaks, because when something you love speaks to you, you do it. For me, that's television. It happened when I was 14 years old. I was a teenager, and my mom invited me to go to the filming of The Mike Douglas Show. It was the first television talk show, one of the first, and Merv Griffin. And it happened to be filmed in my hometown of Philadelphia. And so I said yes. And when we arrived, I sat in the studio audience, and I spotted a girl on the set with a clipboard, and I didn't know what she did, but I knew in a moment that I would do it one day too. First of all, she had a headset on, so that makes you automatically cool. Like, I'm feeling super cool in my headset right now. She was holding a clipboard, which made her official, and she was really busy. And I knew in that moment that I would do the same thing she was doing one day too, even though I had no idea what she did. I don't think she was an audience producer. I'm pretty sure she was like an audio tech, but I don't care. In my mind, she's my girl with a clipboard. She's my mentor that I've never met, but she's with me. I took her all through high school, through college, and as I sit looking at my clipboard here in front of me, she's with me today. So that happened for me because I accepted an invitation and I said yes to my mom. And I was lucky that my mom invited me, and I was lucky that I didn't say, no, I have field hockey, or I don't want to go, or it's boring, or stop, leave me alone. I said yes, which is a huge, huge message that I give to everyone, is to say yes. It doesn't matter if you're 14 or 45. When someone asks you to do something that's out of your comfort zone or something you think you have no interest in, say yes. It could change the entire trajectory of your life. And the whole reason, part of the biggest, I would say, reason I worked for Oprah was because of my mom's invitation to a television show that I didn't want to go to. So think about that next time you say no to your mom. And I don't care what age you are. Say yes to anyone who loves or likes you, because it will open up just a huge window to your life that you never expected. It's totally unexpected. And I love unexpected things, except for unexpected turbulence. So I did say in my intro that I'm scared of everything besides, you know, public speaking. I'm not scared of the dentist at all. I spend a lot of time in the dentist chair, which we will talk about at some point. But I am literally terrified of everything else. I am scared of flying. I'm scared of being on a boat, being on a bridge, being in an elevator, being in a subway. I'm scared of any kind of open water. I am terrified of self-park parking lots. They scare me. I'm scared of getting lost. I'm terrible. I have a terrible sense of direction. But I do all of those things because in order to live my purpose, which is either working in television or speaking or connecting with an audience, I got to get there. So if it takes a boat, a plane, a subway, a train, or me in a car navigating on my own, I'm going to do it. And that's all about being brave. So when we do brave things, we remind ourselves that we can do anything. It's not about, for me, when I do brave things, like I'm doing stand-up comedy now, wanted to do it for 10 years. It's not about me becoming a stand-up comic. It's about me getting on a stage, totally being vulnerable, doing 5 minutes of stand-up comedy content from my life so that I can go back and be a better speaker, a better writer, a better audience producer, a better mother, a better partner, and a better friend. So to me, that's some of my Love Speaks messaging that I really, really, really will be talking a lot about with myself today and with my Love Speaks friends. So what I did was I forgot, because this is my first podcast and you don't understand, I will make hundreds of mistakes. So what I forgot to say is to tell you what this podcast is about and why it's only me today. It's my first podcast, so I figured, why not get to know me before you get to know my friends? So I'm going to share with you some stories, and I'm going to tell you that I have had this podcast in a folder in my office, on my desk for 5 years. I left Harpo about 5 or 6 years ago. And when I left because obviously the show ended. My job became obsolete. And I was asked to stay on. We did a lot of audience work for OWN, and then that stopped. So I was asked to stay on in the marketing department, and I really sucked at everything they asked me to do. That's just not me. I remember my boss saying, you know, it's just like what you do on the stage, Sally Lou, as the audience producer for the Oprah show and warming the crowd up. It's just you can't see them. They're online. And I was like, no. We were starting we were launching the Owners, which is the fan club for OWN, the network. And I really just wanted to be in the studio, you know. Ever since the girl with the clipboard, you can't take me out of the studio. I'm just having so much fun being in a studio today at Mystery Street Studios in Chicago, Illinois, because it's my happy place. I love the smell of it. I love the feel of it and the sounds and all of it. For me, when I was in a television studio, every single sense was activated. And I loved the smell of a studio. I loved the sound of the lights clicking. I loved the feel of the camaraderie of the crew, seeing all the action and the taste of the excitement. You think I've said that a few times? And I realized that when an environment sucks you in and pleases all five of your senses, that you should make a career out of it. So that's why I chose television. It made me feel like home. So I'm going to ask you a lot through this podcast is, what's your home? What makes you feel alive? What makes you feel your purpose? Every single day when I walked up that marble staircase at Harpo Studios and I smelled Oprah's flat iron and hairspray, I smelled my purpose because it was show day. And for me, show day is everything. It's when you are most alive. It's when you have everything ready. You are at your best. You've got your skill set ready. You've got everything lined up and you're about to transform some lives. And for me, that's show day. Today is show day for me, being here in the studio doing my first podcast. It's an excitement. It's show day. And anyone can have show day. Show day is not reserved for just the Oprah Winfrey show or anyone that happens to have an exciting life. Show day is for whatever you want it to be. Because if you're in your purpose, you're feeling that excitement. Another thing I talk about a lot is fear. And as you know, I just told you all the fears I have. I have so many more. I have a huge fear of choking that comes from my childhood. It's endless. But what I have found about fear is that there's a way to circumvent it. And I spend a lot of time helping people lose their fear of public speaking. I mean, it's a joke. Like, I don't know why that's the one fear I don't have, along with being, you know, a good person in the dentist chair. I don't know why it's the one fear I don't have. I just know that for some reason, it's not mine. And so when I'm in my purpose, I don't have fear. And I think that's why. So I know my purpose is working in television and connecting with people. That is my purpose. When I was a young girl, I used to connect puzzle pieces and set a beautiful table. I love when things fit neatly together. So my purpose, I've taken that further. And now it's connecting people, not just pieces. And I love when people connect. And I saw that every day at the Oprah Show. And I see it every day in my own work with Love Speaks on my own platform. Seating the Oprah Show audience was like seating a beautiful puzzle of people. And that's what I see. And that's what I do. So that's my purpose. So when I'm in my purpose, I don't have time for fear. And what I've discovered is when I'm on an airplane and I'm writing, I don't have fear. I'm in my purpose. I'm writing. One time I was asked to speak on a plane and I got to use that little like flight attendant call thing. I was so excited that when we were taking off, I was still standing and the flight crew had to tell me to buckle up. I'm usually in the fetal position. So what I realized is if I could speak on a plane, I would never have fear. So use that in your life. Like, what are you most scared of? Find a way to bring your purpose into that. And circumvent the fear. I remember my first networking event that I did. It was for the Professional Women's Club of Chicago. And I came into that room of 200 women that I did not know. I didn't have a microphone. I didn't have a purpose. And I was terrified. I could have gone into that room of 2,000 women with a microphone and not even broken a sweat if I was booked to be a speaker. But I was terrified going in there with no purpose. So if you are entering anything, whether it's work or a relationship or a friendship or service, and you don't have your purpose with you, you're going to be scared. So remember that as you go through your life and your day, just to bring purpose, more purpose into your life. So my new book is titled Speak, Love Your Story, Your Audience is Waiting. Use your voice to step up your speaking game and your human game. And that's what this podcast is really about. It's about being a better speaker. It's about being a better human. And it's about connecting with yourself and others in ways that are unexpected. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we are going to talk about everything. I have so many people I want to talk to. I have been putting them in my podcast idea folder for 5 years. I came up with 50 people right off the top of my head. So I'm excited to bring to you my Love Speaks friends. We're going to talk about things that I love, like purpose and pain and momentum and magic and fear and forgiveness. We're going to talk about kindness and composting and careers and love and loss and parenting and purpose and money and mindfulness. That's just off the top of my head. Today, we're just talking about me, which is really what my stand-up comedy act is about. That's so funny. So we're talking about me. So you get to know me and you're going to come back for more. And then I'm going to talk to all my friends and I'm going to try to really be good at letting them speak. Because it's really hard for me. That's going to be my challenge, totally my challenge. So I had a really big career, and now I'm on my own. I started my business when my job was obsolete, like I said. And what happened was so interesting. I was so busy loving my job at Oprah. I mean, I was in the thick of it. I mean, I did the audience warm-up for 15,000 people at the United Center for our surprise spectacular show. I did the warm-up for 23,000 people for the flash mob show that we did and helped the fabulous Michael Gracie coordinate what was this flash mob as he taught everyone the dance. I have stood with 200 men who were sexually abused as boys, and I held each one of their hands. I have sweated my ass off when we were trying to get everybody in the studio for the car show without them seeing the cars. I've done two favorite things shows back to back. One is hard, two is impossible. But not only is two impossible, we, my team and I, did those two favorite things shows with food poisoning. I had had a party the weekend before, the holiday party for my team. Somehow we all went home with food poisoning. I don't know what happened. I did not cook, so I don't know. Somehow something happened and we were literally losing it in the bathroom, like throwing up and coming back out to work. So this is the kind of life. So I had a very big career. So it's hard. It's hard to go from the most to your own little platform that you thought was going to be huge. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. People aren't taking my calls like they took when I was working at Oprah. So that's been something to get used to, and I do write a lot about that. I remember when the show was ending, Oprah passed me. I passed her in the hallway, and she said, "How you doing?" And I said, "When the show ends, will people even like me?" I wasn't being dramatic. I just wasn't using a filter, which is very much like me. And the truth is that when you are with a big brand, people like you more and call you more and invite you more. And when you are not, people like you less. So that's been a really big struggle for me. Add midlife to it, and it gets real hard. But I'm not complaining. You don't have to have the violin out for me, but it is definitely going to be part of my comedy routine, which will be fun. But the truth is when you have a big career, it's hard to not have one. And so I really am mindful about being grateful for all the wonderful successes that I've had. Having this podcast is a huge success for me because as I sit here in the studio, I have manifested it for 5 years and I'm finally doing it. When I first held the first print that I ever made from my printer of my manuscript for my book, I'd been talking about that for 5 years and feeling the weight of the pages, 167, I was like, I did it. And so what the cool thing is that you can have a big career, you can have a small career, but whatever it is that you really want to do, the magic you want to bring to the world and to your own life, create it yourself. And if you can't do it full time, find a way to do it part time. Okay, so I had this big career, and having a big career is like having great sex. You had it, it's over, but at least you had it. So I'm always looking for what's going to make me have that feeling again of like being alive, like I said, show day. And for me, I do it every day, and that's why I'm so in love with being in purpose. Because it doesn't matter if I'm being paid to connect with someone or an audience or if I'm not being paid to connect with someone or an audience. Every single solitary person, place, and thing is an audience for me. There's no place that's not a venue. I am constantly connecting with people, whether I'm on an airplane, my favorite. I make airplane friends. In the supermarket, on the street. Anywhere I can make someone's day by giving them an unexpected compliment or saying hello or looking them in the eye, showing that they matter, that's what gives me my high. And that's what allows me to still feel like I have a big career. And that just doesn't come from working for Oprah. It comes from being raised by my dad. And I love my mom because she gave me that invitation to television. But my dad gave me an invitation to connection. He was a doctor and he was a force of love. He loved medicine and he loved his family. And when I was young, I would go to the hospital and I would do rounds with him on the weekends every once in a while. And I would walk the hallways with him and it would be like I was walking with a rock star. Everyone's like, Dr. Oakes, Dr. Oakes, Dr. Oakes. He'd stop and say hello to every single person, ask them about their family, what they needed help with, how they were doing. And he had a nickname for everyone. Everyone was nicknamed. If you knew my dad, you had a nickname. Mine is Lulu. Anyway, and also Tanker, which I did not appreciate. Sort of set me apart from my beautiful skinny sisters. Anyway, but it was with love. So, but yeah, I felt that connection with him and with people. And I saw that he was impacting lives in such a big way. And yes, as a doctor, he was saving lives. I knew I would never be a doctor. I'm not smart enough. I'm not brave enough. There's nothing in that environment that pleases my senses except for the camaraderie. I love that. So when television was introduced to me by my mother, it made sense that eventually I would land one of my first television jobs with Oprah Winfrey in 1987. I tried to work for her in 1986 when the show went national, and I met her in 1984 when I was working at the fabulous WTTW, our PBS station here in Chicago, when she was a guest on our local show, Chicago Tonight. So I was starting with Oprah from the beginning, but what led me to Oprah was my father, because I wanted to make an impact on people's lives the way he was making an impact on people's lives. But I wasn't able to save lives. I was only able to make them better. So as the audience producer for the Oprah Winfrey Show, I got to stand on that stage and make people's lives better, because that audience warm-up was not just about the show. Of course, they came to see Oprah. Duh. But what it was also about was the person you brought with you to see this amazing human named Oprah. And so that's what we focused on. And it was really about that journey, because you couldn't just take anyone to the Oprah show, you had to take the person you love the most, which we called it your top Oprah pick. You took your mother, your sister, your best friend, whoever it was, and you enjoyed that journey together. You talked about what you were wearing, how you were getting there, where you were going to stay, what you were going to eat. You were going to get your manicure, your pedicure, even though Oprah would never see it. And you were going to come in hot with your bestie. And that's what that was about. And I learned that from my father. I learned that from my family. I learned that from my sisters. We had a saying in our family, that's my sister. No one screwed with my two sisters, and they still don't. And trust me, if someone screws with me, my sisters are on them. And that's the way we were. We were just raised to be loyal and loving to one another. I mean, we didn't kick anybody's ass, but I would have if I had to. And so that's what led me to Oprah. And I'm so grateful to my father, who inspires me daily with his beautiful messages from heaven, and who inspired me here on earth. And I'm so grateful for my mom, who is 87, a fashionista. Her nickname is Snooki. My dad did not give it to her. Her father did, who is a big joker. My mom's really funny. I like to think I got my sense of humor from her, and definitely my grandfather. So that's a little bit about me. I also have three children. They're adults, and their names are Marin, Carly, and Billy. And they all work in television or film, which I think is super cool. The DNA somehow transferred to them, and they were really raised on the Oprah Winfrey Show set. They came all the time, especially when they were old enough. Well, they really were never old enough. For a while, we smuggled them in, and I got a lot of nice, nice perks there. But my girls, Marin and Carly, who both work in television in New York City, were very much interested in seeing Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift, whereas my son, Billy, he was always interested in seeing how things worked. And he was set on being a filmmaker from the age of four. He told me, he looked me square in the eye and said, "Mom, when I grow up, I want to be the guy who punches the buttons to make television shows." That is a technical director. Now, I don't know how he knew that because he had not been to the set yet. But that's what he said to me. So I call him my Love Speaks poster boy. And he is actually sitting here with me. Say hi, Billy. Hey. And he's shooting some behind the scenes for me today before he goes back to college in the fall. So I am very grateful for him. And I think it's just cool that you can see that developing in your children. And it makes for a lot of fun conversations. Like my daughter Carly is working at the Tamron Hall show, and she's asked me a lot of advice, and I've been able to really help her, which is exciting, so exciting. It gives me anxiety because I remember some of the stuff that used to give me crazy anxiety working in TV. I'd take it all today, though, man. Any day of the week, I will take it, and I am never too old to do this work, working 15-hour days. I worked at the Today Show to help launch the Megyn Kelly show that unfortunately did not go a third season. But it was pretty fun and pretty stressful because we were trying to get audience, and it was hard. And it made me alive. It was show day every day. And every challenge that we had, I knew, hey, I walked into the United Center for the Surprise Spectacular show, and they had built a wall in front of 200 seats. And I was like, oh, those seats have been ticketed. Those people are arriving in like 6 hours. Someone on my team shook me to say, Sally Lou, we need to solve this, which is why you need a team. And we solved it. I kind of blacked out, but we solved it. And so anytime I have a challenge, I can march into a control room and know I'm going to solve it because I solved that. And I solved a lot of other things too. I'm working one day a week for my friend Jill Alberts at a jewelry store. She has a beautiful fine jewelry store. And when I wasn't getting jobs that I really am qualified for, I was like, maybe I'll work for Jill. It's an environment I love. I love her. I love working for a woman who's strong. And it's, you know, I love representing her as a brand. And so I do. And it's funny, I'm asked to do things I have no idea what to do, like inventory. Oh, the other day I was asked to order 2 boxes from Staples. I ordered 2 pallets of boxes. That was fun. I was like, you have no idea how much I do this kind of crazy shit. I ordered some dandelion tea from Amazon for myself at home because my liver enzymes are high, and I got a case. I have ADHD. I need a team. I need people. I need my friend Charvo, who was my right arm. I do these crazy things, but I am going to be the first to connect a room and connect a brand to an audience. So that's the good stuff that you get with me. The other stuff is I lose everything. I fall all the time. I have fallen on every set I've ever worked on. And I'm clumsy, and that's just who I am. But that's me. Okay, so on my podcast, I'm going to ask people some very specific questions. So now I'm going to ask the questions I would ask my guests to myself, and I will answer them for you. What is my talent? So, as you know, my talent is connecting with people. I love puzzles. I like when things fit neatly together. And actually, I also really loved making fake radio shows in my basement when I was a little girl with my sister. So we would record on our reel-to-reel recorder. And I was usually the host, and then my sisters pretended to be celebrities. And that was really the start of my audience warm-up, and definitely the spark, you know, and it's definitely the start of this podcast. So connecting hearts in a room is my talent. I don't care if it's a hotel lobby, a subway, an airplane. There is no place that is not a venue for me to connect people. When did my talent click with me? The Mike Douglas Show. Absolutely, 100% clicked with me at 14, being in that studio, seeing that girl. You know, it was 1976, and you didn't see a lot of women around doing jobs that were cool or jobs at all that had power. So when I saw her, I was like, yep, that's what I want to do. How is love speaking to me today? Love is speaking to me today because I'm doing what I love, speaking with my son, who is standing across from me, who will one day be an Oscar-winning director and hire me and put me in the front row at the Oscars. And I'm going to say, what am I going to say, Billy? That's my boy. I'm going to be 100. Yeah, I'm going to say that's my boy. You can't cough in the podcast studio, Billy. I do a lot of speaking. How do I engage my audience? I engage them by mingling with them first. So this is my big tip for all people who are scared to speak. Silence is what makes us scared to speak. If we are expectedly or unexpectedly asked to stand up and speak to an audience and the audience goes silent, that's where fear has its access. So you want to avoid silence, which is why I always like to say mingle with your audience first. If you are scheduled to speak, make sure that before you speak, you circle that room or the pre-function area or wherever you are. Listen, the bathroom, ladies' room is my spot. That's my jam. That's where I always speak with my audience. In fact, sometimes it's naked. Yes, I was in my Spanx because I had to take off my dress and blow dry it under the air dryer, the hand dryer, because I sweated through my armpits. So there I was in my Spanx. It was one of my best speeches, I will say. So vulnerability has its perks, right? Anyway, fear comes from silence. So speak to your audience first. Get to know them so that when you are speaking, you can use your audience for live content. If something comes up, you can say, you can refer to someone in the audience for something that they shared with you earlier. And it doesn't have to be long. It's just a quick hit. And that makes your audience feel like my dad made the people at the hospital feel, and that Oprah made people feel in her audience and on her set. They feel like they are seen and they are heard and they feel like they matter. And that is what takes a speaker to a level of a great speaker, because you've showed that you care and you're not scared because you're not the only voice in the room, which is also a key component to mingling with your audience first. So don't be afraid to be out there and, address your audience. They're in the room. You can talk to them. Think of it like a red carpet, only without the who are you wearing question. But you can ask them that because it's a legitimate question. But yes, for sure, talk to your audience before you speak. Okay. Now, I normally would ask people about their topic that we're talking about today, but we're just talking about me. So we're talking about me. What am I currently loving? Okay, here's my list. Schitt's Creek, obsessed. Can't even handle that there's only one season left. Frank Ocean, thank you, Billy. Yoga, love it. Songland, obsessed. Thank you, NBC. I'm loving writing. I can't stop. I'm loving writing comedy, which is new for me. I am loving WW Reimagined. I am a new WW Reimagined client. I have lost 5 pounds, and it is the first time weight loss has clicked for me. I have lost and gained 15 pounds 5 times since I turned 50. I'm 57. That is called yo-yo dieting, and it needs to stop. Weight Watchers, obsessed. I am literally barcoding everything. I barcode other people's food because I love it. It's a game. It's a challenge. It's like, oh, how am I going to use my 23 points today? I love it. Love you. And of course, I've wanted to do it forever, but I always thought there was too much math. And now the app makes it so easy. I also thought it would give me too many reasons to cheat because I like programs where they give you like, okay, this is what you have to eat today. They put it on the table and that's it. No cheating. But what I've realized is Weight Watchers or WW Reimagined is about yes. And I like yes. I love yes. No is not a motivator. Yes is a motivator. So I'm loving Weight Watchers. And of course, the fact that Oprah is, number one fan and investor, of course, I do anything she tells me to do. So yes, Weight Watchers. Obsessed with Ben Platt. Just have always been. Love him so much. I love his new music. I love his movies. I love Dear Evan Hansen. I've seen it 3 times. I would see it 500 times. I just love him. He's so cute. Chelsea Handler's book, Life Will Be the Death of Me. I can't. It's such a quick read, but I can't get through it because every time I'm reading something, I have to share the passage with somebody because it's everything is funny. She is my comedian hero. I love my Yorkie Gracie. She's my rescue dog because she's adorable and she loves me unconditionally. And I named her Gracie because Grace is always welcome and she's my friend. Okay. What label did I overcome? My nursery school teacher, Mrs. Thompson, told my mother I would never make a friend because I was too shy. Well, screw you, Mrs. Thompson. I did. My daily prayer. I say this every day and night. Thank you, God, for all of it, especially this part of it. Amen. So whatever is happening, be it good or bad, I'm thanking God for it, and I have gratitude. If I wasn't an author, speaker, TV audience producer, I would be a buyer at Bergdorf Goodman. I love the smell of leather goods. When I'm in New York, I ride the escalator. I take a deep inhale in, and I smell the leather, and I say, God, I love this store, and I love clothing, and I love shoes, and I love the fall, and I love a new wardrobe. I would also like the feel of an employee discount, so I would definitely work for Bergdorf Goodman. What's the one thing you love about yourself? What I love about me is I think I'm funny. My kids don't, but I think I am. My favorite word that I love, literally. I say it all the time. Literally. I literally love this. The season I love the most, fall. I don't even like summer. I know that's awful to say, but it's true. What No launched me? Oh my gosh. I thought I was going to be working for the Tamron Hall Show as their audience producer, but they took a pass, but they hired my daughter, Kar-Kar, which was my prayer. So I figured if they hired one, let it be her. I'm so proud of her. She's launching her TV career in New York City. And I am not, but I am cheering all the way for the show to be successful. And, I would have done a really good job. But guess what? I wouldn't be doing this podcast and I wouldn't be able to market my book. So that's the upside. That is the silver lining. This has been so much fun. It's gone really fast. I've sort of been all over the place. I really hope Jeremy, my editor, can make this work. He's not going to take out the stuff that I screw up on. He's just going to make it make sense. So I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy that you're here. And I hope that you will find me as I launch into this and bring in all of my friends, it is so exciting to know who's going to be up first, which is my friend Rita Coburn, who is a director, a writer, and a producer. We've known each other close to 30 years. And she will be my first guest because when you hear the podcast, you'll understand why. She's the only person that could be my guest. The last thing I'm going to say is just make room for magic in your life. Magic is something I really, really love. It is not. It was something we felt all the time at the Oprah Show. I used to ask my team when we were packing up to go on a remote, I'd say, you know, for all of our supplies, I'd say, you know, do we have the wristbands? Do we have the gaff tape? Do we have the blue cards? Do we have paper? Do we have the Oprah magic? And they'd look at me and roll their eyes and they'd be like, Sally Lou, yes, we packed the Oprah magic. But that magic was real and we took it everywhere we went. And I take it with me everywhere I go today. I've got it sitting here with me in this room. It's magic. It's like when you know you're in your purpose and you have surrounded yourself with a talented group of people and led by the leader who encompasses that purpose from the top down. And that's what the Oprah Winfrey Show was about. We were a very talented group of people that was very, very much in sync with our purpose because of our leader. And magic isn't just reserved for the Oprah Winfrey Show. It's reserved for anyone who believes in it and who has a purpose and has a group of talented people that can share that purpose with. So I find magic in my temple community, in my church community, in the nonprofit community where I volunteer. I find it in my own family and in my family of origin. So look for magic. When you look for it, you find it. And then welcome it. And then just say, ooh, that was magic. That's what Sally Lou told me to look for. That's magic. And watch it just happen more and more in your life. And you'll feel way more connected with yourself and with others. Make some time for mindfulness. We're going to talk about mindfulness a lot. I am a big, big proponent of TM. I do it daily and I love it. And I just want to say thank you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I can't wait for more. And my tip of the day for you today as my first podcast is to try something new. It can be little. It can be big. It can be something you've talked about for so long that people roll their eyes at you because you haven't done it. That's what I'm talking about. Do that. Because I no longer use air quotes about my podcast, and I no longer use air quotes about my book. I'm doing it so no one can roll their eyes at me because it's done. So go do that. Love on, people. Your love speaks. Thank you so much. Sally Lou Loveman, your Do What You Love enthusiast and host of the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story. Your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there. Thanks for listening. Your love speaks.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your day.